how to do less emotional labor at home. Before we find out how to do less emotional labor at home, let's consider what actually is emotional labor. The term emotional labor has been thrown around lately, especially with women. As Gemma Hartley, author of Fed Up, Emotional Labor, Women, and the Way Forward, defines, emotional labor is emotion management and life management combined. It is the unpaid, invisible work we do to keep those around us comfortable and happy. This term was originally coined by the sociologist Arnie Hochschild in her 1983 book on the topic, The Managed Heart. As she originally defined it, emotional labor is the work of managing one's own emotions that was required by certain professions. Flight attendants who are expected to smile and be friendly, even in stressful situations, are the canonical example. A closely related term, life admin, explained by the author Elizabeth Emmons in her book Life Admin, is the office work of life. Tasks that fit into this definition are handling finances, managing health, medical, and insurance matters, maintaining gift exchanges, keeping track of important documents, searching for childcare, or managing and coordinating schedules. The similarity between these definitions is that much of this labor is invisible. It's not putting the dishes in the dishwasher. It's knowing that certain containers need to be washed for school lunches tomorrow. It's not taking the kids to the doctor's office. It's scheduling it around work and school. It's not paying bills. It's coordinating the family's investments and insurance policies. It's in many ways foreseeing or predicting and preventing anything adverse happening to your family or people you are responsible for. Who does more emotional labor? Emotional labor, or life admin by all definitions, were experienced in my profession as a teacher and also at home as a mom. Regardless of the debate on what makes up emotional labor or life admin, Hartley suggests these tasks seem to be overwhelmingly completed by women, whether at home, at work, or at home. In an article written by Samantha Darby of Romper, she explains that watching the show Tidying Up with Marie Kondo showed gender roles in the home in obvious form. If you haven't watched the show, basically Marie Kondo goes into a home and tidies up with families. But Darby's observation was that the tidying was almost exclusively on the women's shoulders, and many were in tears about the state of their homes. In one episode, a mom cried about how she's the mom, so she knows that it's expected of her to be the organizer, the homemaker, the one who knows where literally everything in the house is. This left me with the question, how can we better share roles in the home? Motherhood and emotional labor. There was a period in early motherhood where I felt completely overwhelmed. I was in charge of all finances, health insurance, bills, buying a new home, investments, childcare, etc. This was on top of working full-time and breastfeeding. The problem was that these mental energies devoted to life admin or emotional labor were invisible to me as well. I was exhausted all the time and frustrated because I felt like I'd never be able to get everything done. I didn't even know what type of help to ask for. I wanted someone else to solve all the adulting problems that would surface daily. The truth is, I took on these roles early in my marriage, not based on gender, but rather because I simply became an adult earlier than my husband. When we were first married, he was in graduate school, and I entered my first year as a teacher. I was thrust into the world of adulting with new health insurance, retirement accounts, union dues, and in general, maintaining my constant composure amidst a classroom of rowdy middle schoolers. I was an adult before he was, so naturally I took on more of the life admin tasks, since I was the sole breadwinner of the family. Relationships and emotional labor. Usually these life admin tasks can follow you throughout a relationship based on the tasks you complete early on. It wasn't necessarily that we had uneven roles due to gender, it was more that we had gotten into the habit of letting me take care of it all. It wasn't even that my husband didn't want to complete these tasks. It was oftentimes easier for me to complete them when I had time. But as a new mom, I didn't anymore. Turns out, I actually like some forms of emotional labor and life admin. I love investing our money, caring for our children, and obviously we'll happily fill out health insurance paperwork to know that our family will be covered. However, I didn't need to be doing all of the emotional labor and life admin for our family. My husband actually likes to grocery shop, plan meals, and cook. He also likes to take care of the house and car maintenance, schedule childcare, pay for preschool, and pick up and take our daughters to school. There were plenty of ways we could have shuffled up the emotional labor and the life admin tasks earlier if I could have recognized the invisible labor from the beginning. How to do less emotional labor at home. With the second child, I promised myself I would not get as overwhelmed. I would delegate, simplify, automate, and take tasks off my to-do list. I would communicate more effectively to avoid bitterness boiling up. Here's how I managed to do less emotional labor at home. Number one, delegate and communicate effectively. There are some life admin tasks that you'll need to do. You'll need to schedule your own doctor and dentist appointments. You'll need to sign up for health insurance through your employer. There might even be some life admin tasks you'll like taking care of, like finances and investing in retirement or index funds. However, you don't need to be in charge of your spouse's doctor or dentist appointments, which is something I've scheduled in the past. Decide on tasks that you don't thoroughly enjoy doing or can be done by another person and ask your spouse to take these on. Honestly, sometimes I just default to taking care of tasks, but I know that by delegating them to someone else, I can free up more time for my own well-being and feel less overwhelmed. Effective communication can go a long way. Granted, that's if you have a spouse who views a marriage as a team effort. I would suggest not waiting until you are completely overwhelmed, bitter, and angry to communicate all the tasks that are piling up on your plate. Just speaking from experience. Number two, automate. Automate all bills and investments that can be. This saves a considerable amount of invisible labor. Plus, this helps you actually save and invest more money. We don't have to even think about saving because it's automatically taken out each month and invested or put into our savings account. In case any are leery of automated payments, set up reminders to your email or phone. Check credit card and bank statements online regularly to make sure you're not being overcharged. You can also automate schedules. Try to make certain meetings, play dates, or get-togethers repeat weekly or monthly at the same time or place. This takes away the effort of coordinating where to meet and when. Try to coordinate schedules on a shared Google Calendar, a large calendar printed in your family room or kitchen. Encourage others to write and schedule appointments. You can even automate meal plans. If your grocery store provides this, have a monthly meal plan with a repeat grocery list scheduled for a pickup every Friday. Number three, let go of expectations. If it truly does not bring you joy to remind your family members of birthdays and anniversaries, etc., then stop doing it. Perhaps inform your spouse that they are now in charge of all birthdays and anniversaries on their side of the family. You can let go of the expectations that constantly be entertaining everyone or hosting people. You can let go of the expectation that your home needs to be tidy all the time. You can let go of the expectation that you have to have a home-cooked meal on the table at 5 p.m. every night. There are many expectations you can let go of, which will take one less task off your plate. A few expectations that I've let go of are having a clean home all the time, home-cooked meals every night, answering emails all day long, answering my phone at any time, matching my toddler's outfits, she dresses herself, folding my toddler's clothing, what's the point, and overscheduling my family and self. My mom used to have a plaque on the wall that read, Martha Stewart doesn't live here. Now it makes more sense. She had let go of expectations. Number four, simplify. A minimalism blog wouldn't be complete without mentioning that choosing to buy, consume, and do less will save you emotional labor and life admin. When your family has less toys, it takes less emotional labor to get rid of, organize, or buy in the first place. When you have less clothes, it takes less decisions to choose what to wear every morning. When you have less on your schedule, it takes less energy to schedule more important uses of your time. Author Emmons recommends to resist the pull of social pressure to keep up with the Joneses. Furthermore, Emmons suggests a few ways to simplify or opt out of too many choices in everyday life. Number one, cut down on the number of after-school activities. Number two, choose the nearest doctor or dentist preschool instead of researching everyone in a 20-mile radius. Three, if you have the money, buy your way out of coordinating the yearly fundraiser. Four, consider with every purchase if you actually need an item. Otherwise, skip it and know you saved yourself time. Five, simplify your nutrition by only buying whole nature-based foods and avoid bringing any processed foods into your home. Number five, you can completely avoid life admin. Obviously, this is the sneaky way, but a lot of time when you avoid certain invisible labors like checking email all day long, someone else will answer before you. Yes, someone else will pick up the slack. Small tasks like reminding people of anniversary might just be learned when said person forgets. Sometimes dropping the ball is a great way for others to realize these labors are completed by you and they are not invisible. Number six, identify when you are completing invisible labor. The more you recognize when you are actually completing invisible labor, the more you'll be able to automate, delegate, avoid, simplify, or let go of expectations. You might also find this post helpful on how to do a brain dump to declutter your mind. This could help you actually see how many invisible tasks you are responsible for in your family. Honorable mention, outsource. If you realize you want to outsource your taxes, house cleaning, or laundry, know that arranging and researching people to hire is also life admin. Make sure to delegate these tasks if you already have too much on your plate. Final thoughts. I have one last piece of advice. Avoid blaming struggles with emotional labor or life admin on anyone else in the family. This only takes away from finding a solution. Even blaming gender roles in our society takes away from finding a solution to your current problem. If gender roles are present, then don't blame it, accept it, and work to find a solution with your spouse. Focus on these six ways to do less emotional labor at home and relish in the time you have to do what you truly want. Please join the discussion. What emotional labor tasks have overwhelmed you? What are some solutions you have utilized to do less emotional labor? This is the author, Maria Halcombe. Hope you enjoyed the post.